Good morning. Will you bow our heads in prayer, please? Our dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to be in your house on this your Sabbath day. Lord, we are thankful for the blessings that you have given to us so mercifully throughout the week. Lord, we praise you for your goodness and for your loving kindness toward us. Lord, we pray that you will be with us here today. Lord, may I be a willing instrument, responsive to your promptings and your will, Father. Let these be your words and not mine. If they need to be changed, please change them. We pray in your name, amen. How many of you have read Robert Frost's poem, The Road Not Taken? Anyone? I see a couple of hands that went up. Well, for those of you who have not, the poem was written about coming to a fork in the road while on an autumn walk through the forest, where the author had to make a decision about which road he would then travel. One road was traveled more than the other. He made his decision, and the last verse reads, "I shall be telling this with a sigh," and in this instance, the sigh is meaning relief. "Somewhere ages and ages hence, two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference." We, meaning everyone here today, faces a similar decision every morning when we awake, and then continuously throughout the day until the sun sets. There are two choices. Please take a moment to turn with me in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. And it reads, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there are that will find it." As this verse states, there are few who find the narrow path that leads to eternal life. This verse should give us pause to ask and examine ourselves which road we have chosen to take and whom we have chosen to follow. When I was a little girl, I remember a felt set that depicted two roads. One was very colorful, and along the path were placed items such as cigarettes and alcohol and words such as hatred. And at the end of this road, there was a graveyard that said eternal death, with an image of Satan standing with a stern expression on his face. The other road was narrow and rocky, but along this path there were items such as the Bible, words of peace and joy, and acts of kindness. The end of this road led to eternal life, with an image of Jesus beckoning to his children. Does anyone remember the felt set? Yeah? It seems so simple as a child. If only we abstained from the use of those things mentioned along the broad road, then we would be on the right path, right? To a degree, yes. While it is important to refrain from partaking in alcohol, cigarettes, and drugs, it is more important. No, that's not correct. We'll say it's equally as important to understand the motives and condition of our hearts. We could be abstaining from all of those things, but instead are cherishing a different and almost imperceptible hardness of heart, which has blinded us to our true condition, where our feet have strayed from the narrow path. How is this possible? Worldly pursuits seem to hold a strange allure, even for the professed Christian. Ellen White said in Testimonies, Volume 2, that earthly and selfish interests engage the soul, the mind, and strength of God's professed followers. To all intents and purposes, they are servants of mammon. They have not experienced a crucifixion to the world with its affections and lusts. The temptations may begin small, with friends and family members' faces fading from the church pews to attend a party or other event on the Sabbath. And perhaps you've received an invitation to go. Perhaps in time it has become more difficult to believe the stories told in the scriptures, as the shelves are quickly being filled with novels or adventure books that seem to be much more intriguing. Perhaps we attend church because it is the proper thing to do and sit down on the cushioned pews to listen to the sermon, but the door of our heart remains unopened and the lock has begun to rust and decay with disuse. Perhaps our thoughts are not focused on the sermon at all, holding on to those truths that are presented and feeding upon the words of Christ, but instead are drifting to all of the things we must get done for that event we're hosting that very evening after Sabbath. Perhaps we begin to shift in our seat as we wonder how the book we have been reading is going to end. Perhaps we are considering our finances and fear financial poverty, but no longer seem to care, or maybe more to the point, simply do not recognize that a condition called poverty of spirit has taken a hold of us. Our actions, thoughts, and behaviors will inform us that if this is the case, our hearts are far from the only place that would secure our future, as we seek instead to secure our future by our own means without realizing that we are doing so. Everyone, especially those who have chosen to follow God, is pressed with temptations. This is said because I personally believe that once an individual makes their decision to follow God, that Satan uses every force at his disposal to discourage and reroute us in our walk with Christ. Temptation is inevitable, but it is not in itself sin. It's a result of living in the sinful world, and it's whether we act in accordance with that temptation, if we give in to that temptation when it becomes itself sin. I have heard it said that God demands too much of his people to give up the parties, the entertainment, the food, the music. But there is a quote mentioned in Steps to Christ that reads, "God does not require us to give up anything that is for our best interest to retain. In all that he does, he has the well-being of his own in view. Would that all who have not chosen Christ might realize that he has something vastly better to offer them than they are seeking for themselves. Man is doing the greatest injury and injustice to his own soul when he thinks and acts contrary to the will of God. No real and lasting joy can be found in the path forbidden by him who knows what is best and who plans for the good of his creatures. The path of transgression is the path of misery and destruction." Perhaps our reluctance to give up those sins or resist those temptations and choose God stems from a misunderstanding of his character. He does not say, "Do not do something without a reason." He knows that those things he has asked us to walk away from are harmful to us physically, mentally, or spiritually, and because he wants us to be happy and live our lives more abundantly. Jesus told us in Jeremiah 29:11 that he has a plan for our lives, and it's a plan that's going to prosper us and not harm us. It's to give us a hope and a future. He loves us. He desires us to be with him so much that he was willing to give his own life because he could not bear the thought of being without us. What can the world offer that can compare to this kind of love? Why would we choose what is harmful for us, for temporary pleasure, if we can live life happily and to the fullest while enjoying good health? Satan and his minions, we're going to call them, pressing constantly on every side, pleading and guiding us to choose his way, whispering to us that no one can possibly keep God's way or walk the narrow path that leads to eternal life because we are hopeless human beings. However, God is not asking us to do anything that he has not already done himself. In fact, he paved the way for us to make it easier for us to follow him. It is true that the way to eternal life is straight and narrow. There may be steep cliffs on each side, and it may be easy to lose our footing and tumble off of the way. But as the Israelites were instructed to keep their eyes on the bronze serpent that Moses carried, so Jesus bids us to keep our eyes fixed upon him. He has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. We are safe and guaranteed sure footing only if our focus remains upon him. No one ever said the way was easy and without trials and tribulations. Satan knows that his time here on earth is growing shorter, and he seeks to lure us away to share the same fate he is condemned to, which is eternal death. I can envision that there are many roads that branch from the narrow path, but we have a road map to point us in the right direction. And we need to carefully read and study this road map that we may recognize temptation and sin when we're faced with it. We may have to face persecution along the way, as Jesus also was subjected to, but we are bidden to put on the full armor of Christ, and through prayer we can journey onward toward heaven. I want to encourage those of you here today who are struggling with your decision to follow Christ or to continue to follow Christ, that you stand firm. Isaiah 55, verses 6 to 7 reads, "Seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." There is someone who loves you and wants the best for you, and what he has to offer is of greater value and lovelier than anything that this world can possibly offer. This world can truly offer disappointment and despair. But stand firm. A famous book called Pilgrim's Progress, written by John Bunyan, depicts a really interesting point. That there is armor to cover every part of the pilgrim's body. There is the belt of truth. There is the breastplate of righteousness, a shield of faith, a helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, but there's no armor for the back. We would do well to remember this. Only going forward on the narrow way are we protected, and we have been given a choice. If we turn back, we're opening ourselves up to Satan's bidding. It is up to us which road we would like to travel. God will not force us to choose him. He will abide by our decision, even if this decision rejects him. The exercise of force is contrary to the principles of God's government, Ellen White says. He desires only the service of love, and love cannot be commanded, cannot be won by force or authority. Only by love is love awakened. To know God is to love him. And when we love him, we will serve him and willingly seek to give up those things that would separate us from him. So stand firm in your decision. Keep your eyes fixed upon Christ. And we have the assurance that he will see us through to the end, when we can say, in the words of the poet of Robert Frost, that we have chosen the road that has been less traveled by, and it has made all of the difference. Let us bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, may we seek to press forward. May we seek to serve you, to bow to your will, Father, to do as you have asked us to do. Lord, we pray that our hearts will be changed, that we will seek your face, that we will seek your kingdom, that we will seek for those who have been lost, Father, who do not know you, who do not know the way of to eternal life. We pray that we will be an influence to them, Father. We pray that we will finish this work here on earth, and we pray that we will never turn back. Lord, be with us throughout this next week. We pray that you will guide and direct our steps and our decisions and bring us safely back here to your house again next Sabbath. We pray in your name. Amen.